Are Kyrie and James Harden going to sign their extension?
His trade value is not there. And when you hear reports...
Phil has been paid $16 million of his $33 million salary.
I know about people that have certain clauses
what
in their contract.
What happens next year with Giannis Antetokounmpo? He will be eligible for a Supermax next summer. If he re-signs, a new reality is the players are going to move around. And the players are not going to want to spend their whole, you know, life...
And because they didn't want to go into the penalty of the luxury tax, they traded James Harden. Somebody's going to be making $50 million.
He probably could have made a little bit more money this summer in free agency.
I think he could have got a lot more in the offseason. When you got a chance to secure the bag,
you secure it, man.
No question.
What's going on, quality people? This is another edition of the Bird Rights Podcast. I am here, as you guys know. I think we are now on either episode 13 or 14 of our 2024 offseason previews. So I am here with Corbin, as usual, Corbin Ford. Follow him at CorbinNBA on Twitter, on X, whatever the hell they want to call it nowadays. And we are here doing the Houston Rockets. So we brought on none other than either one half, one third of the Upside Swings podcast. I don't know if Stone is fully back in business, but his name is Cooper Klein, our resident Houston Rockets aficionado, I suppose I'll call him. Cooper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'd say I'm one third.
We're back, baby.
I think we're back.
Yeah.
So we did like four podcasts without Stone, and he couldn't resist the call to come back.
I know. I was looking through the archives of y'all show like 2 months ago, maybe, to try to get ready, and I was like, wait, that's it?
Well, because we took a little break over the summer, and then we hopped in, and then we bit off way more than we could chew. And so these podcasts took a lot more time than we thought. And by the time we had like a whole plan and like it was all set, college basketball season started. I was doing work, Bryce was doing work, and Stone, you know, was in his MJ retirement. So but we are back, dropping a lot of pods on this great draft. I love this draft class. It's inspiring. It makes me so happy in my heart too.
I love hearing that. Wow.
Yeah. It has some cool players, but
I didn't know if you were being sarcastic. I'm like,
a little bit, a little bit.
We're in the same wavelength then. Yes. Yeah. It's inspiring. I love it.
But I'm doing great this morning, and it's great to catch up with you guys. It's been a minute. And I'm always happy to talk some Rockets ball, even if this is the worst draft in a decade. Can't be mad about a top three pick. Can never be mad. Found money.
Well, I actually tweeted the other day. I was talking about Anthony Edwards and how I just kind of swung and missed on him in terms of him as a prospect. But I said, everyone talked about in 2020, oh, this draft class is horrible, blah, blah, blah. Like, and it was kind of like the same sentiment that this draft class is getting. I said that draft class ended up producing Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball, Tyrese Halliburton, Desmond Bane, Tyrese Maxey. Like, guys came out of that class.
And Killian Hayes. That's a legendary class right there.
Oh, so if you could avoid the Killian Hayeses and take the Desmond Banes or the Tyrese Maxeys late in the draft, I mean, there's going to be an all-star. There's going to be probably multiple all-stars in this class. You just kind of, you know, need to find them a little bit harder and dig a little bit deeper. So that's why we're
rushing. Yeah, I do think a lot of the talk out there is NBA teams hedging their bets because they are scared, because it's like there's no consensus to lean back on and like protect their jobs and reputations. It's like, oh, well, there's no, like, you can't go to your owner and say, oh, like, the owner can't be, well, you drafted Jabari Smith at 3. We're going to fire you. Because even if Jabari, like, doesn't continue to improve, he was the consensus number 3 guy. You point to him and you go, this was the best pick at the time. This was the only process we could have made. This is what we had to do. In a class like this where there's 7 to 10 guys who could go in that top 3, you can't point to that same consensus. You actually have to live on your decisions and, you know, stand on the decisions you're making. And I think that scares NBA teams. If they just, you know, make all the owners believe that everybody is a Tobias Harris in this class, then, you know, then they can get away with it. But I do think it's kind of lame maneuvering more than anything. And everybody should just stand on their laurels and draft good basketball players.
Okay, I could talk NBA draft all day. So I know you guys are here for the Houston Rockets. So let's dive a little deep into that. So we're going to talk NBA draft with that number three pick and what the Rockets might do. But let's first talk about the rookie extensions, because unlike almost every other team in the NBA right now, the Rockets have two decisions to make in terms of rookie extensions. They have Jalen Green and they have Alperen Şengün. Both those guys are eligible for rookie extensions. And now, as we already know, under the new CBA, we saw with Devin Vassell, guys can now get a fifth year for less than the max for a rookie extension. So, Cooper, let's talk about Şengün first. I mean, he is eligible for a max. I mean, obviously he is. But, I mean, is that something? Is like Desmond Bane got 5 for $209. In the show notes that we have in front of us, I pegged Şengün for 5 for $175, which is what, 35, 37 mil a year, about, if I'm doing that math correctly. So where are we? Is it on my estimation of 5 for $175? Is it the Desmond Bane 5 for $209, or is it somewhere in the middle? I mean, where do you fall with that, Cooper?
So I think your estimation is probably about what he's going to get. I think the team is, from my reading of things, they're a little hesitant to give him the true max, the big Desmond Bane, throw the money, back up the Brinks truck type max. Just because there are still people in the front office who worry about a lot of, you know, Şengün's issues. And he does have his issues. He was really, really good this year. I'd say he's an all-star level player, especially on offense. And he showed the defense was better. But there are still concerns about how he plays with some of the other players on the team, how he fits with them. The Rockets played a really different brand of basketball when he went out, and they looked really good. And I think that they'll use a lot of these smaller factors to drive his extension money down, which is unfair. I think Şengün's pretty easily the best player on the team. Just give him the max. he deserves it. He is, like, he's stupid dominant. Like, that's the best way to describe it on offense. You can't really stop him. If you can fix some of the smaller issues, work on the outside shot, I think he's like a pretty clear all-star. Great rebounder, can pass the ball. I would give him $200+ million. I can see the Rockets working him in that 160, 170 range and trying to drive down his asking price.
Okay, and then in regards to Jalen Green, and Corbin, I didn't forget about you. I'll get your opinion as well. Jalen Green, we talked a little bit before we started recording how, Cooper, you sort of said, well, you can't offer Jalen Green more than $100 million. And I said, well, there's no shot he's going to take anything even. He's going to take $100 million and more if you want to keep him around. So I think the best contract to look at for Jalen Green was what Devin Vassell got for San Antonio, which is 5 for $135 million. So where do we stand with that? I mean, he had a great, as I said, second half of the year last year. Cooper was very quick to correct me. No, he had a great March, not a great second half of the year. So where do we stand with Jalen Green at this point in terms of being willing, if you give Şengün that max, are you willing to also, you know, give Jalen Green that 5 for $135 million?
Me personally, I would not give Jalen 5 for $135 million. He was the worst high minute starter in the NBA for half the year. Like, definitively, in my opinion, he got better on defense. He got better at passing. He still can't score consistently. He doesn't know his spots. He doesn't have a lot of the smaller stuff that you expect to score. I made Corbin cry. Corbin left the call with my Jalen Green hating. But he's so inconsistent. And this is the third year in a row. It's like, wow, Jalen's really turned it around at the end of the year in March, in April. He's really doing it. He's like really found his stride. And I'm not doing it. I'm not buying back into this, especially because he couldn't even finish the year well. He had his best stretch of the year in the Rockets' easiest schedule. And you get to the end of the year when we play good teams again, and he goes back to being bad. It's I'm not falling for this. If he comes out and he can do it in October and November next year, I'm all for it. But I don't think you should even extend him. I think let him hit restricted free agency. I don't think somebody's going to pay him that much. He's a number two overall pick, so somebody probably could. But I think I would take that bet because he's not going to extend for low. If you can get him for $500,000 or $120,000 or something, do it, because that's, you know, a low end salary for a number two overall pick. But I don't think he's going to, and I don't think he's ever going to be worth, you know, the salary he's going to want with what he's shown us so far.
Corbin, anything to add on either the rookie extensions?
Yes, I do. Glad you asked. Yeah. So yes, like, you're right. Okay. So I had this harkens back to a spirited debate I had with the Houston Rockets with some fellow Switch Theory members a couple at this point months ago. In the midst of Jalen Green's March run, where a good friend of mine, Josh Earl, was like, yeah, but he only does this in March and all the things. And my thought process was, yes, it didn't help me. At the time, I assumed that Jalen Green would finish this the rest of the year and it'd be great. And the fact that he didn't definitely puts a blow in my argument. But I stand for Monte Ellis. I stand for, you know, Terry Rozier. Like, this doesn't faze me. I fought this fight for a long time. So here we go again. All right. I will boldly stand again here. But what I'm trying to say is this. I think Jalen Green has been in a position where I don't want to say he's been set up to fail, but I don't think he's had a proper developmental system until this year to really give him a chance to, you know, kind of not even flourish, but just be a player with number two pick that's worthy of doing more than empty calorie scoring, right? I think if you look back when he was first drafted, not having a point guard for what? Or a good offensive coach the last couple of years, right? I think his point guard was who? Kevin Porter Jr.? Like, the dude, rightfully so, is out of the league, right? Like, and also, when he was in the league, he wasn't a point guard. I think we all said that. Like, that wasn't his role, right? So you're talking to a guy who went to the G League, I mean, which is now, I mean, the G League Ignite, which is now defunct. You know, the artist formerly known as the G League, which isn't necessarily a great developmental system, right? But, like, he was in that kind of as a driver of offense, really a driver of usage. Come to a Houston team that has nothing. I mean, you have a year of half done, well, I would say mostly done, John Wall for 1 year, right? You have Kevin Porter Jr. for two. This is the first year where you actually have like a point guard and Fred VanVleet, like an actual ball handler who can get you in your offense. And yes, even saying all that, his year was not great, but I think it was a definite adjustment from him having been the leading scorer in two of the last 3 years for the Rockets to being a guy who's like, okay, those weren't actually like efficient offense, so now we're gonna have you find your role more as an off-ball guy, where he was, for lack, you know, better or worse, sharing like the on-ball usage with KPJ the last couple of years. So it's like, okay, focus on that. I think his shooting did kind of dip for sure. I think his defense was decent, but there was some issues there. Then of course he caught fire in March, and I was like, yeah, this is the Jalen Green we've been waiting to see. And I, you know, was not really looking at the. Actually, it was pointed out to me the record and who they were playing, and I was like, it doesn't matter. Utah was still in there, and no, they weren't. And other teams, and they weren't. But the point being, I think that there's some strides in terms of confidence for Jalen Green. I just think he immediately, you know, Operation Goon being the guy that he's been, and he's been good, like really good, comes in, and I feel like he's gotten more of, and it's from someone who's not a Rockets insider or anything close to that, so really fully just a super fan, like, bird's eye view here. But I feel like the priority has shifted to a certain extent when Jalen Green's still at 21, 22, 22. And I feel
he's
like
22.
Yeah. I feel like he's still trying to find that role. And I think a lot of his development has been stunted due to the environment around him from when he was drafted. So yes, not great. You're right. It's kind of disappointing to see these second half surges that are not even full surges, just half surges in the second half. But I think the fact that he shows these flashes is something to consider. Now, mind you, this is why I suck at basketball GM. I would totally extend the guy. I'd be like, yeah, like break the Brinks truck. Like, let's go. And I don't know. But I would at least give him an offer, just considering that Alperen Şengün, in my opinion, has had an easier time adjusting or being fit in around this team than Jalen Green has, just given the role.
No worries. I do think that's really fair. The Rockets' developmental context, especially the last two years before this year, were really bad. But I think I don't think you can extend him because you just don't understand what he is. He's 22 years old. He's like the same age or older than Amen. He's a year younger than Tari, you know, a year older than Jabari. And you're going to have to extend Tari and Jabari after this upcoming season. Two guys who I expect Tari to have, you know, an all defensive season if he's fully healthy. Some more offensive development. I expect to see more out of Jabari Smith Jr. You have to extend those guys. And I don't think that you can just throw this money around willy-nilly right now when you have two guys who could both potentially be more consistent NBA players than Jalen Green coming up. And then you also have the second best player on your team the year after that, and Amen Thompson coming up on his extension. That's a guy who's going to have to make Supermax money in a few years, if I had to guess. And unless Jalen can actually show that he is an NBA player, I don't think you can give him any kind of guaranteed money. And I'm not sure that Jalen is consistent enough to be, you know, the guy you pay $130, $140, $150 million.
Okay.
And the one guy that we didn't even talk about was Cam Whitmore, who's also going to be due a rookie extension the same year as Amen Thompson. So it's a luxury, to say the least, in Houston with not only having this number three pick and, you know, what they could do in free agency and trades. Corbin, do you have anything to add on the rookie extensions, or should we move on to the draft?
I mean, one more defense for Jalen Green here. No, okay. I do have a question. Like, if Jalen Green was in the draft right now, like, I think he'd be better than who? I mean, and again, it's my thoughts on the draft. Like, would you have him, if he was available number three right now in this draft, knowing what you know about him, would you still take him?
At three?
It's hypothetical, but
yes.
So in this draft.
He's almost Dalton Connect aged.
Yeah, because I feel that like 22.
He's
or
22. 20, you know, Connect's going to be 23.
Yeah.
On his draft night, and he's ancient to me. But I don't think I would take him at three. Call me a hater. There are three guys who I have my eye on at three in particular. And I honestly, part of this is that watching Jalen Green on a nightly basis just like deflates your sails so much when you're cheering for a team that's going into the, like, fighting for a playoff spot. This team was fighting for a play-in spot. And if they had a league average two guard for the whole year, I think they make it. And I just can't do it. I'm 100% biased against Jalen Green to some degree, but it's because of his play. Okay. It's not because I hate the guy or anything. I don't think he's a great fit with the guys around him because he's so far behind developmentally. And part of that is our fault. Part of that's the Rockets' fault because they can't develop and they had a bad plan. But this team is ready to win right now, and Jalen Green is not ready to win right now. And I don't think I would draft him at three, maybe around 5 to 7. He just hasn't shown me, you know, top three pick when I have younger, more interesting guys to actually develop with real developmental minutes in a real context that are 18 or 19 years old.
There you have it. I'm anxious to get to the two players in the draft when we talk about draft stuff, Steven. I know you're gonna steer the ship in that starting to go in that direction. But thank you, Cooper. That's it. That's a take. I'm a hot take king myself. It's not even a hot take, really. I'm more the hot take guy. But
Corbin just deemed himself the hot take king. Listen, for what it's worth.
Listen, I put some tweets out that I thought were common knowledge. People are like, are you crazy? And I'm like, oh. So, yeah, I did deem myself that. But I'll take it back for a second. But, Steven, no, I have no further questions on this end.
Okay. So, good segue into the NBA draft. Cooper just said this kind of three guys that he has eyes on for the Rockets with the number three pick. As we know, the draft lottery came and went. The Rockets got some lottery luck with, I believe that was the Nets pick. It wasn't even their own because OKC had Houston's. So they got lottery luck with the Nets pick from the James Harden deal, and now they have a top three pick. So, Cooper, I have six guys listed. And let me know if there's anybody else I'm missing that you want to add. But for the Rockets consideration number three, I put Ron Holland. I put Donovan Klingon, Reed Shepard and Dillingham, Nikola Topic, and Zachary Richichet. I know you mentioned a little bit pre-draft that you think Alex Saul may fall to three. I think his floor is two, given how badly the Wizards need a big man. But you never know. Houston does definitely have assets to trade up if they wanted to, even trade down a little bit if there's a guy, if they don't have any big preference. But where do we stand with the Rockets in terms of the number three pick?
So my three guys are Saar, like you said, who I don't – there's like a 5% chance he falls to three in my mind. And it's because of the recent play of Richichet and just NBA teams, it seems like in general, obsession with guys like Donovan Klingon, you know, Nikola Topic, these overseas guys, and Klingon. But, you know, these guys who – I don't fully see it with, especially in the top three, but, you know, we could see go one and two. So my guys, Saar at one, I think he goes one, but then the two guys who could fall, I think, are Ron Holland and Reed Shepard. I think Ron will 100% fall, but he is kind of my guy in this class. I can't decide whether I want to have him at one or two. Just a defensive menace and a rebounding menace at the moment. He's 18. I think he's going to be 18 for most of his rookie campaign, if I am correct. Or he'll be 19 for his entire rookie season. But a very young player played in a now, you know, the artist formerly known as the G League Ignite. I am stealing that 100%. That's great. I love it. Because I just talk about how they've been shuttered because they're so bad at their jobs. And that is not as fun as that. But I think he was in an awful context, asked to be the number one guy. And he's not, he's never going to be that number one guy, but you don't want him to be. You want him to be a secondary, tertiary piece who brings some energy, brings you, you know, a ton of rebounding from the wing spot, a ton of grit. And I think he can do that. There's a lot of fun offensive skills that if he can put it together is like a star or a sub all-star level guy. You know, I think the playmaking is legitimately good. I think the handle is creative, if not functional at the moment. But he can't shoot and the Rockets need shooting and ball handling. And he doesn't do either of those things. So he's not, I understand why people are really averse to him this high, especially for the Rockets. The other guy who I would really like who can fill both of those holes to some degree is Kentucky's Reed Shepard. Best shooter in the class, historic freshman shooting season. It's hard not to buy the shot. If you don't buy the shot, I think you're a fool. Decent defender, can handle the ball a little bit, a legitimately good playmaker. If he's not super advanced, he's not like a crazy point guard bet, but he can do enough to be like a backup point guard type guy, ball handle a little bit, pass, and not be like a slouch on the defensive end. And I think that's the kind of stuff we really need on this team. Maybe he's the off guard of the future. We'll see. I do think he adds a lot of you could play him with Amen and Şengün, run some DHO type actions, use him as, you know, a pick and roll ball handler, use those guys as the screener. It allows you to be a lot more creative when you have a guy who's such a dangerous shooter off the dribble, you know, off movement, off the catch. That the Rockets really don't have. They don't have a kind of versatile shooter like that who is going to demand doubles consistently just because of his gravity, you know, not just when he's, you know, on fire and hitting everything one game out of every seven. Those are my three guys. I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on who the Rockets should take. And I can give you my thoughts on the rest of the guys you named here in a bit. You're muted, Steven.
You're muted, my friend. I think it's a Corbin, though.
Okay. So I'll let Corbin. Yeah, I should call Corbin. I was wrong. Anyway, I will give my input first, and we'll get Corbin's. But I think I saw it was someone on Twitter, and I apologize, I forget who it was. But basically, like, we can't take Ron Holland. We already have Tari Eason, and we have Cam Whitmore. But it's like, at number three, I just think if you think Holland is the best player on the board, I just think, that's what I'm a big proponent of, taking the BPA, unless, like, maybe Rockets in a little peculiar of a situation because they're more of a win-now team than typical teams picking at number three. But I think if Raphael Stone and that front office truly believes Holland is the number one guy, or number one, number two, even number three guy on the board, I think that's what they do. I did put Topic on here. I don't think he's realistically going to be an option for the Rockets. And I don't think Dillingham's really going to be a realistic option for the Rockets just because him and Fred would form such a small backcourt together. So I think I'm on board with either Holland, Shepherd, like Cooper just said. Even Ricochet, I think, would be a pretty solid option, the 3-and-D type. You know, that makes Dylan Brooks more expendable. I think Dylan Brooks is only a stopgap there. I don't think he's obviously the long-term solution. Different players, though, obviously. And I even wouldn't hate Donovan Klingon here because similar to what they traded for in Steven Adams when he was out for the year last year, I think Klingon could provide a lot of that. Obviously, they'll play a drop defense with him, similar to what the Bucks do with Brook Lopez. I think that could be a fun scenario that they could utilize. But yeah, that's where I'm at. I think one of those four guys definitely make the most sense for Houston. So Corbin, do you have anything to add?
Of course I do. So I think that my personal three is Holland number one, Ricochet, but I also have Reed Shepherd's good. I like him. I color me, wait until I see like how he fits in the pro level. And this might bite me in the total butt, and that's fine. I've said that before. I think he's going to be a very solid player. I don't have him as number three guy. But who I do have as number three guy in my list for the Rockets is Rob Dillingham. Because the exact same thing you said, Steven, about Dylan Brooks is exactly how I feel about Fred VanVleet. Stopgap. Like, the dude's 30. Going to be 31, 32 at the end of this contract, end of the deal. For an undersized defensively stout guard, but for a guy who is like smaller. And I'm not saying obviously that Rob Dillingham is the answer there, but you have a guy who isn't, yeah, you're going to draft him. No, he's not going to start. I'll be a horrific backcourt. Also, I still believe in Jalen Green, but you have a guy in Rob who has an NBA level offense off top. Like he is the one guy I am so clear in his offense translating to the next level. There is like zero question there for me. I think the defensively, yeah, there's some real weaknesses there, for sure. And honestly, I'm higher on Reed defensively than I am on Dillingham. But offensively, I think the guy can fill it up for sure. I think he can be that kind of combo S guard that Cooper was kind of bemoaning the Rockets didn't have because Jalen Green didn't wake up yet. You know, so I think let's say even if you decide to move from Jalen Green, let's say. You don't offer an extension. You say, okay, there's the right deal, the trade line, he moves. I think of a guy in Dillingham who at worst is like a really good scoring combo guard off the bench, right? Who I think can still be impactful for teams that are trying to compete. But I think at best, if everything comes together and he's not a total defensive liability moving forward, and he is someone who does give effort, I think you are looking at a guy who can kind of step in maybe in the future and be a significant contributor in the backcourt for the Rockets. So that's who I have as my third spot. Ricochet, I think, yeah, 3-and-D guy. Just additional shooting for this Rockets team. A guy who can defend his position, I think, pretty decently. What, 6'10"? Shoot a 3-ball well. And then, yeah, I'm also a Ron Holland believer in my personal big board, which I haven't dropped yet, but I'm just going to announce it here. I have Ron Holland number one and Dillingham number two. That's a high aim on Dillingham, but that's also a high aim on Ron. Like, come on, with that kind of guy, like, you bet on the talent there. He almost reminds me, this isn't an original comparison that I've saw here, but I forgot. Shout out to the guy who said this. I'll share it. San Diego State Kawhi Leonard is how he was described as like a comp, whose jump shot also wasn't very good from three, which also didn't look horrifically bad, but also had a really good motor, really good defensively, was young, like all of those things, you know. And of course, like the developmental story of Kawhi is night and day. Like, I don't know if that's something that can be replicated as easily, but you bet on that type of player because at their peak, like that's a player that thrives in this NBA. So, yeah, that's my number. That's my top three for the Rockets.
Yeah, I'll start with, because Steven, you said something interesting, like the idea of fit with this team. I think you have to look at fit with the Rockets and just in general, in terms of like broader strokes, you can't look at like, oh, wow, the Rockets have so many wings. You can't draft a wing, or the Rockets need a big. So you need to draft a big, because roster fluidity in the NBA is at an all-time high. If you like, if you trade Jalen Green or Cam Whitmore or both, the path to minutes for Holland is right there. And it's so obvious. If you trade the Dylan Brooks contract or you know, any of these guys, the path for Ron Holland and the fit is like, wow, it's miraculously way easier for him to get minutes out of nowhere. Or you can just figure out how to make minutes by trading these guys, you know? And also, these rookies aren't going to play early, like real minutes, especially on this team, other than maybe Reed. I think he's the only guy who I would have like a guaranteed role for, you know, day one in year one, because he adds so much to the roster on both ends. And anybody else other than maybe Sarr is playing maybe 5 to 10 minutes a game. It's a really tough ask to be like, well, they need this right now, so you have to draft this guy right now. And I just don't think that's how you can approach things. Yeah, I don't think the Rockets are going to take Topic. I don't think, I would guess he goes to, and if he doesn't, 4 to the Spurs. I just don't think there's a way the Rockets take him. Doesn't really fit their ethos at all, because he does not try on defense and he doesn't really have a ton of outlier skills in the way that the Rockets want. Risa Shea is a tough one for me, because I don't buy the shot as being super versatile. He can heat up and he can go on these heaters, but he just doesn't have the offensive versatility that even a guy like Shepherd offers. And I don't think the defense makes up for that, because he's a stopper who's actually not that good at stopping. He's like a fine stopper. I think he'll be a league average NBA defender, and that's cool, but he doesn't play off ball defense. He's not a good rebounder, despite the fact that he's 6'10". There's some interesting cutting flashes and stuff like that, but he's not, you know, a guy who can attack closeouts really with the ball in his hands, especially in a cramped floor like the Rockets have kind of had. He's not a, to get rim attempts basically on this Rockets offense, you need to be an elite transition player, or you need to be able to just power your way through and force your will and get to the rim. That's how guys like Tari and Amen and Cam have gotten to the rim, despite this being a really cramped offense, or even a guy like Şengün, who has thrived at the rim. And I don't think Risa Shea is going to be able to do that. Risa Shea. I really think he would be like the sixth or seventh best wing on the team. And he's not going to, there's no like any conceivable way he plays early. And I don't think he's like a talent bet to where it's like you still take him despite the fact that he's, you know, not going to play early. I just don't see the talent that some people do. Klingon could be an interesting fit. I don't think he's like the third or fourth best big on the team day one. And I don't think he would ever be good enough to where you trade a guy like Adams, or even a guy like Jacques Landale, who's like an NBA vet level big day one. You know, the offense is just so raw with Klingon. He is really far behind offensively, and I do not get personally the top 3-4 buzz with him. The defense is good. The defense is really good in some ways, but I do think it's kind of overstated to some degree how good of a rim protector he is, because he's not super athletic. He relies a lot on timing and chase downs. And I don't want to say he wins on narrow margins, but the margins are a little too narrow for how he wins at the college level defensively. And he's not good at anything on offense to make up for that and to really like add any kind of versatility. And it's really worrying. It's really worrying. So those aren't my guys. I really just want Reed or Ron or Sarr if he falls. But it's a weird class. It's a really, really weird class.
Okay, so I just noticed we're 34 minutes in and we're still on draft talk, which is fine when the Rockets, again, are in a situation where typically Corbin and I have been going maybe 35, 45 minutes for an entire episode of one of these. But given the Rockets have the number 3 pick and the situation they're in, and given they have 2 starting players eligible for the rookie extension, one of them being the best player, I think, you know, that's what we should have focused the majority of our attention on. So in terms of free agency, the Rockets do have the mid-level exception. That's most likely all they will have to work with unless they decide they want to, you know, play the under-the-cap game, shed salary. I don't think it's really worth it for them to do. But in terms of free agency, I think the biggest thing we need to discuss is, I don't know if, I think this was before we started recording, but Cooper basically said they need guys who could shoot and they need guys who could dribble. That's kind of what I focus on. Like, I do have, like, an Isaac Okoro on this list just for the defense reasons. But, like, Sadiq Bey, if they offered him 4 years at the MLE, it would force Atlanta in a weird situation where they would have to potentially match when they might be a tax team. Luke Kennard. I put Gary Payton II on here. Caleb Martin, Hayward Highsmith, Malik Beasley. Guys like that. Even a Gary Harris. The one guy that, of course, Cooper said to me when he was looking over the show notes before we started was, oh, I would love Max Christie. And I said, that's funny, because Corbin and I, in every episode we have recorded so far, Max Christie seems to be an ideal fit. Cooper, the one guy I did forget to add on this list, Najee Marshall from the New Orleans Pelicans, is another one that Corbin and I basically said, okay, he's going to take MLE money, and he would help any team in the league. So out of all these guys, is there any in particular that really stand out to you in terms of, oh, I'd really like that guy on the Rockets?
You can't go wrong with a Sadiq Bey. I think that guy, the defense is not there, but he can shoot the piss out of the basketball. Like, that is a high-level electric shooter. Max Christie, like you said, big fan of his. I missed on him in the draft. Doesn't mean I'm not going to make up for it now by wanting my Rockets to sign him in free agency. Kennard, I mean, elite spot-up guy, has a little bit of versatility. You know, doesn't bring a whole lot else, but, I mean, the Rockets' shooter guy was Reggie Bullock this year, who kind of has Jalen Green disease, where he can't play well until the second half of the year. It's like something in his brain clicks. And the other guy who I really, really want on this list is D'Anthony Melton. You know, kind of limited offensively, but, you know, was drafted by the Rockets back in the day. And then we traded him in a salary dump that still makes me angry because he should still be on this team. Just an elite point of attack defender, elite wing defender. I just want him on my team. He can shoot it a little bit, and that's about it. On offense, but if you sign him for the MLE and you're getting an elite disruptor at the guard spot, I think that's a victory, and you can find a way to make him playable offensively. He just fits the team identity so well. You have Hartenstein on the list, another guy who I was just crying about because he used to be on our roster and should still be on the roster, but we cut for absolutely nothing. Back during the Daryl Morey days, would love him as a long-term backup. I think he adds like the change of pace from Şengün that you really need. Great screener, great passer, great finisher. I've also met him before. He comes into the restaurant I work at over the summer while he's in Houston. And I bring him his food. He's a cool guy. And I tell him every summer that he needs to come back to Houston. So maybe I'm working my bionic magic on him, but it's a good list. We just need shooting wings and ball handlers. I think that's what we need more than anything. So fingers crossed, but I'm not really relying on free agency to fix that. Relying a lot more on internal development, and like maybe one free agent to help with those issues.
Corbin, is there anybody on this list of free agents that stick out to you that either I mentioned or that I didn't mention that you think Houston could, you know, kind of target?
I mean, excuse me. Seems like I was rusty. of the folks that are mentioned, I like. I think Achiuwa Okeke would be a solid like shooter, almost like a better version of Gary Clark. Shout out to him. I definitely get the love for Hartenstein. For sure, again, like Max Christie. And this is someone who obviously stands for him as a Lakers fan. Wish Lakers used him more, but the Lakers won't really appreciate him. I'm sure another team will. I will still support the guy. I think that you have a really good player in Christie that would get minutes on this team. And with his 3-and-D, you know, good frame and defensive versatility, could really make an impact. Aside from that, not a whole lot of guys immediately pop out to mind in free agency. I feel like the focus will definitely be on the draft for the Rockets, and then obviously any trades if they decide to move in that direction. But yeah, I would say those guys pop out immediately as somebody, or as people I would look at if I were, you know, Raphael Stone in the Rockets front office. But I'm trying to think. I know it's great radio. Yeah. Yeah, I think that will be it. I'm trying to think of some more, and it's not really coming to me. Luke Kennard. Sorry, meant to mention thoughts on Luke Kennard. Love that for Luke Kennard. I think that he's another solid guy that would really, really, you know, like, he's been injured. That's been a thing. But, you know, shooting-wise, we know what he can do. I think he has a little bit of juice off the bounce that gets underrated, especially as, like, you know, second side or even tertiary playmaker. I think is really well, at the very least, can kind of keep the ball moving. I have one hot take, not even a hot take guy. What do we feel? We didn't mention him, and I am curious. How do we feel about Klay Thompson?
No. No. Washed. Keep him away. Send him to Orlando so he can destroy their season. That's what I want to happen.
Oh, wow.
I don't. Dude, he's like 40 at this point. I have a personal vendetta against the guy for destroying my life every single April for years. Second, he's not good at basketball anymore. And third, he's the personification of evil. So we do not need to be signing Klay Thompson to my hometown Rockets. I thought about the idea in like a sign like a trade for his expiring earlier this year. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, he really could have some gravity. And that's so interesting.
That's what I
just draft Reed Sheppard. If you really want shooting like that, just go draft Reed Sheppard, who is currently a better basketball player than Klay Thompson. Is that a hot take that Reed Sheppard, who's 19, is better than washed Klay off of like 16 injuries?
I'm going to say yes, because we haven't seen Reed in the NBA, and Klay is significantly bigger than Reed. And defensively, I think even in a bad season, can still hold up well against small forwards, where Reed, like, good luck with that.
My SEC leading stealer, Reed Sheppard, is going to be a lot more valuable. That's my take. That's my Corbin hot take of the day.
Okay. No, I'm with it. I'm just going to say he gambles more than I do at 2K, but, that's just my thoughts.
Well, Corbin might not be the hot take king anymore. So
no, I'll tell you, listen, I will.
He held the throne for about 25 minutes.
There you go. I will hand it off to my friend Cooper. 20 minutes. What a great run.
Okay. So last little tidbit I want to note is potential trade avenues for the Rockets. I did put in here Steven Adams. They sort of traded, at least I envision, for the flexibility of, okay, he's good as, you know, a backup to Şengün coming off the bench, similar to what we just talked about with Hardenstein, but he's also, okay, he's a tradable salary and contract that we could flip later if we need him to in a deal. But the Rockets also have the luxury of they could pick up Jeff Green's team option or Jock Landale's guaranteed a salary match in a deal as well. But Cooper, here's my question for you. There was speculation at the trade deadline last year that basically the Rockets offered for Mikal Bridges their picks back for, I guess it would be the 26 swap and the 27 outright first, with Jalen Green for Mikal Bridges. So that was essentially the framework, as I understood it, of a deal to get Mikal Bridges in Houston. At the time, that was obviously before Jalen Green had that great March. Cooper still doesn't seem too enthused with Jalen Green, despite that good March. So I put on here, out of Jalen Green, Torrey, and Cam Whitmore, who would most likely be the guy thrown into a deal to push the deal over the edge for like a Mikal Bridges, or maybe like a Donovan Mitchell, or maybe a Darius Garland, someone along those lines. out of those three, who do you think is the most expendable?
So to me personally, it's Jalen Green. I think he has the high pick, like just inherent value of being a second overall pick that NBA teams seem to like. I think the Nets will really want Whitmore. If we're trading for Mikal Bridges, it's kind of just an intuition thing with Whitmore, but I mean, there's a really easy way to just look at what he did this season and go, if we double this guy's usage and put him in the starting lineup, that's an efficient, 20 points, like really easily. I think that it's really easy to just sell yourself on his scoring game and like his potential as a long-term star. He has a lot of flaws, but I think he's the most valuable young guy out of those three in terms of just like the broader NBA. My ranking would be Tari, Whitmore, Green. I think Tari's probably the best player out of the three, but that's just not really how the NBA looks at stuff. They tend to value, scoring, raw numbers, that kind of thing a bit more. I really like the Mikal trade. I would die for Mikal Bridges on this team. A perfect fit, in my opinion. He can play long-term in the backcourt with Amen, if you use Amen as a guard. He can play more on the wing, be that long-term wing starter if you keep Fred around. There's just so many options, and a guy like Mikal, who is, physically incapable of making a bad decision and playing bad basketball, would be such an upgrade at the two spot. You don't expect him to come in and average like 25 or whatever his scoring numbers were in Brooklyn, but he can be a top tier star level role player. He is not just an older Jalen Green. He's actually good at basketball. Corbin.
I get my hot take back.
Yeah. Okay. That's not even a hot take. It's just insanity. But I would love Mikal on this team. A guy like Darius Garland, I'd be intrigued for a buy low. I wouldn't like trade probably one. I'd probably trade, Whitmore or Jay, like straight up for him. Just because he struggled so much over the last few years. But I would do disgusting things also for Donovan Mitchell if you can get him to actually extend with you and commit long-term to your team, which I don't know if he will.
Okay. And then, again, I have some lesser tier guys. Obviously, Mikal Bridges and Donovan Mitchell and Garland were the three I want to talk about, but, like, I don't know. I put Andrew Wiggins on this list. The Warriors need to get, like, the cap relief. I put Dorian Finney-Smith and Cam Johnson on this list. DeAndre Hunter, Ayo Dosunmu, guys like that. Kevin Herter, Bruce Brown. Even, like, a Wendell Carter, I think, would be a pretty solid backup to Şengün if they wanted to, like, flip, Steven Adams and whatever for him. I wouldn't give up anything substantial to make that change. But
Rui Hachimura?
Dude, do not bring up Pui Hachimura, okay, to me for my team, okay? You really,
made some strides defensively with the Lakers. We had him on Nikola Jokic. Did you see that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that series went really well for you guys with Rui on him. Right, yeah.
Okay. I don't really have that much else to add. So, Corbin, unless you have anything pressing for Cooper other than any hot takes, now's your chance.
Dang it. Well, no, not really. I was going to ask some more upset swing questions, but I'll ask that when we plug each other. Aside from that, no, I guess not. It'll be interesting to see what the Rockets do this offseason for sure, because I expect them to get better, obviously, as Jalen Green and others continue to develop, but also the West as a whole is also going to get better. So it'll definitely be interesting to see kind of what the Rockets do to separate themselves or attempt to in a bloodbath of Western Conference.
I will note, Cooper, before we do the sign-offs, I wasn't a big fan of everything Raphael Stone and the Rockets front office did this offseason. I was like, look, like, you're rebuilding. It's going well. Why are we rushing this? Why are we signing Fred VanVleet? Why are we doing the Dylan Brooks thing? Why can't we just, let Cam Whitmore be the starter? Let, Tari Eason, I know he was hurt a good chunk of the year. Why can't we give him substantial minutes? Like, why did we push the chips in so far when the West is so good? And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of it. But then they hired Ime Udoka. They obviously then pushed the chips in for Van Vliet, for Dylan Brooks. They almost got Brooke Lopez as well at one point. So I was like, I didn't see the vision, but it looks like, you know, they made a correct call in terms of it's time to push our chips in now and be ready to compete. And yeah, I'm excited to see where this Rockets team goes from here. So Cooper, any final thoughts or anything you want to plug before we sign off?
The Rockets have unlimited options this offseason, and I don't think there's a bad direction they can take. Stick to your guns. You know, you just won 41 games. Buy internal development. You know, keep the pick. Draft somebody. Don't do anything crazy with the roster. Cool. You just won 41 games in a loaded Western Conference. You would have been a playoff team in the East. Just stick with what you have. See what you got. Healthy Tari. Healthy Steven Adams. I think that's like a top end of the play-in team. Maybe even a playoff team if you're really, really fighting, you know, and you can stay healthy. Go all in for somebody. I don't think that's a bad move either, as long as you trade the right guys and you make the right deal. You know, some combination of the two. I don't think there's a bad path the Rockets can take this offseason other than like just making bad moves and trading Şengün for, you know, a 40-year-old player or something like that, right? But options, never a bad idea. You know, and the Rockets have plenty of them. I'm really excited. I'm really excited for this offseason. I think this last offseason, I think it was really easy to look at the team and go, they're not ready. But I think, you know, guys other than Jalen and Jabari were ready. I think Tari's ready. Şengün was ready. I think Amen came in and was ready. You know, Cam is an NBA ready scorer. He was, you know, one of the highest per 36 scorers of any rookie. He was efficient. You know, these guys were, you know, NBA ready, and they're ready to win. And I don't think you can predicate your timeline off of, you know, the two guys who are lagging behind. You have to base it off of your best player. You have to base it off of your second best player, which was Tari Eason the year before and was Amen Thompson this year for my money. You know, you don't base the timeline off of the guys lagging behind. So I'm excited. Hopefully the guys lagging behind can catch up this year or get flipped for Donovan Mitchell. And we can win a lot of basketball games this year and have a fun playoff run. But thanks again for having me on. I had a great time dropping hot takes on the pod with you guys. Check out Upside Swings if you're looking for draft content. We'll be dropping one on wings this week. I think it'll be dropping Thursday. We're recording on Wednesday. So
that was my
Got some Cody Williams content coming your way and a lot of other older wings. So I'm very excited.
Corbin, anything you want to plug?
I do. Before I do, this is a personal, I guess I got to ask after the show, but I'm going to ask now. When are y'all talking Rob Dillingham, though?
I think that's the pod after is the smaller guards. I can actually pull that up right now. Sorry, I have the one with the, if I can figure out how to get to my Google Docs.
While you do, I can definitely plug myself, but I was curious about that because I'm a big Upside Swings fan, as everyone knows here. Same with Steven here, so real pumped about that. But y'all can find me at Corbin NBA, CORBANNBA. Right now, Round Ball Ramble is no more. We will long live Round Ball Ramble. We will look to bring that back, but it was a great run with Sports Ethos, and that has been it was a great time. So shout out to them, but we are free agents moving on, mostly free agents. Still working with Switch Theory, roster construction, where I hope to have Cooper and some Upside Swing guys on in the future, is a show that I have to start uploading stuff for because I have a lot of episodes that are kind of backed up that need to be released. So every great episode here with Steven, offseason previews for sure, a really good NBA draft philosophy conversation with Eric Weiss, just talking about like the bigger endpoints of the drafting, not really specific players, but just what teams look for, how much importance is intel and character, and words like that when it comes to draft prospects. And just a great conversation with a guy who's had a lot of experience in front offices for about 20 years now. So that's good. And yeah, we'll get into some draft stuff, some scouting reports. It's going to be great. I'm excited. Looking forward to it. So yeah, at Corbin NBA, CORBAN NBA. Let's get it.
You guys can follow me on Twitter at @_NBAGL. That's NBAGELL. You can follow Bird Rights Pod at Bird Rights Pod on Twitter X as well. Go look at my, if you feel inclined, my Bird Rights and my One and Done podcast YouTube channels.
Feel inclined.
But for my Bird Rights YouTube channel is going to be all my Portsmouth Invitational scouting reports and interviews with the 9 players I interviewed while I was there. I'm also doing some free draft work for some other players as well that'll be up there. And for One and Done, it's my college basketball podcast. We have, again, we just interviewed Trey Towson after his transfer from University of Oakland to University of Arizona. We did a follow-up with him because we had him on earlier in the year. We just interviewed Lynn Greer II, who just transferred from St. Joseph Temple. I'm a Temple alumnus, so that was a super cool opportunity for me. And yeah, so if you're into the player interviews for either guys in the draft now or guys currently in college, go check out those at either the One and Done YouTube channel or the Bird Rights YouTube channel. But otherwise, Corbin and I will talk to you guys next episode. And thank you for listening.